Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts, we are proud to welcome blues and rock guitarist Dennis Jones. Dennis has been featured on TV and movies and has served as a judge for the International Blues Competition in Memphis, Tennessee by the Blues Foundation. Dennis has brought in a beautiful Martin acoustic and electric guitar by Fender to demonstrate the foundations of the blues. Flow Guitar Enthusiasts is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We have a really killer show tonight. Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And you forgot to mention that it's our two-year anniversary.
Yeah, well, I was going to let you. I'm notorious for stealing the thunder and blurting out stuff. I didn't want to do that.
We should steal the thunder on that. That's pretty awesome. Because you actually have been here for all of them. I have not.
Yes, that's true.
I've missed a few shows.
We've been 104 shows. So, I want to thank Ronan in the booth over there because he's been integral. Everybody in here is a guitar player. Ronan's a guitar player. Everybody involved. And he's been a real help helping us. We've always kind of pushed it with a lot more mics than most of the radio shows.
And I just started playing 2 years ago, so.
And then also to our sponsors we've had over the years, especially Sweetwater. They've just been a real blessing, and we're very blessed to have them as our sponsors.
Yeah, and one of our sponsors we did have for a bit was Celestion Speakers, and I posted up some Celestion Speakers videos at NAMM. So check those out. They released a new 15-inch speaker.
Yes.
It's like the first in 20 years. That should be pretty awesome.
I'm hoping that they'll let Frank Marino try them out because he's interested in them.
Yes. And then the other one that I'm really, really excited is the Celestion Cream, the 90-watt Al Nico.
Yeah, they make a real high-end one that's the cream one, and it's pretty cool. Gets that real glassy sound, but a lot of power. So.
And then I've been checking out, Audio Technica was gracious enough to send out a set of the M70X headphones, so I'll be doing a review on those. They sound amazing. And then also, if we sound just a little bit better than normal today, it's because we're using Proco cables, the new Evolution cables.
Cool.
So we're using that for all of our mic cables and our instrument cables, and coincidentally, they're available at sweetwater.com, so you guys should check them out.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. And then, lastly, as a one last little plug, there is a book coming out that's kind of the behind-the-scenes story of Guitar Player. And we actually Jeff interviewed the founder, Mr. Crockett, and his daughter, Dara. Jim Crockett, there we go. I was trying to remember his first name. And then Billy Sheehan showed up to get interviewed, too. And so one of the nice things that Tao Leonard Corporation did, the publishers, they sent us a 25% off discount code that our listeners can use. So you would go to theguitarplayer.howleonard.com or just find the Guitar Player book on Hal Leonard's website and use the code BBHL. That's Boy Boy Hal Leonard.
That's cool. So, a little interesting aside that when we met Jim over at the NAMM show, and Billy Sheehan came over and sat in with us when we were talking about stuff, and the first thing he asked me was like, do you still read the magazine? I go, of course. I said, I have most of my old ones. And he's like, really? He was really surprised about that. So Billy Sheehan came up and we're interviewing him. And I said, Billy, answer me honestly. Do you still have your old guitar players? He goes, I have all of them. And he was just blown away. But most guitar players, we all grew up with those interviews with our favorite guitar players, we kept them all. So
I was putting stuff in boxes today, and I was seeing all my old guitar magazines from when I was a teenager. Granted, this was back in the day when I was liking bands like Firehouse and Nelson.
So you were probably reading Cream and Circus magazine.
And Extreme. Extreme was a cool band. Come on. But
who's
I
that?
Still have all those. Come on, Extreme. Nuno Bettencourt, please. But the guitar player for Firehouse, what is his name? Oh, crap. I can't remember. Anyways, I can still name all the members of Nelson, sadly.
That's scary. You're really scaring me.
Bobby
after
Rock.
2 years, this is all coming out after 2 years.
Paul Merkovich, Brett Garcia.
Yeah, okay.
Matthew and Gunn and Nelson.
Well, you know we have to go to commercial now because we want to get started on the show. We'll be right back with Dennis, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be all blues. You are giving me the blues by talking about these guys. I'm
Nelson rocks. You should hear their second album.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here from Sweetwater. We're super happy to support Jeff and Scott and the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show on LA Talk Radio. You can see all the specs and pics of your favorite gear and amazingly low prices online at sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700. Every week, Jeff and Scott welcome heavy experts and industry mavens exploring the coolest guitars and basses, pedals, amps, strings, accessories, everything you need to rock. Sweetwater sells all that cool stuff, so listen to the Flow and then check it out online at sweetwater.com or call one of our pro guitar enthusiasts at 800-222-4700. Don't forget that Sweetwater has 24 months equal payments, no interest financing available too. Check that out at the bottom of every Sweetwater webpage where it says easy financing and hit the red apply now button. Thanks for listening. This is Kenny Burgle and Sweetwater saying rock on with the Flow.
Hi, I'm Richard Kotzer from the Winery Dogs, and you are listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast.
And Joey Cathcart, you cut me off before I got to say the last guy. He's the one that had the brain tumor, but he still recorded it because why? He rocked.
Just wanted to. Whatever you say, it's fine with me. Anyway, let's get on with it. We got so much to cover, and this is our guest. He's a killer player, and I really want to hear him play some interesting licks. I'm going to learn some stuff today. Anyway, Dennis Jones is with us. Dennis, it's a pleasure having you here on the show. He's known as a contemporary blues player. He's done a lot of songwriting. A lot of his songs have been recorded by other artists. A lot of stuff's been in film and TV. And he's constantly gigging. He's all over the place. We're very fortunate to have him in town. Fortunately, he's based here, but we got him in town. But we're going to talk about blues tonight. And I think it's time, Scott, that you learn what the blues is about.
I know what the blues are about.
Oh, okay.
Listen to After the Rain by Nelson. They use not only the 1, 4, and 5, but they toss a minor sixth in there, my friend.
Anyway, Dennis, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Good to be here.
Let's talk a little bit to give some people an idea of your background, your influences, kind of go a little bit through that so they get an idea where you're coming from, and then we'll get into the actual playing.
All right. Born and raised in Baltimore County, Maryland, close to Pennsylvania line, real country, rural area. Just really grew up listening to everything. My brother was a few years older than me. He went to Woodstock, and I kind of missed that whole generation thing. But the music was always in the house. My mom, there was Mahalia Jackson on Sundays. There was B.B. King and Al Green on Mondays and Tuesdays. It was like always something. We had records everywhere. So it was always a lot of great influences to be had if you wanted. And I wanted to because I was just just very curious as a kid. I wanted to be a drummer. My parents were like, no, they're way too loud. So when I was 13 years old, they got me, my second choice was guitar. So they bought me a little cheap guitar and a plastic amp. And 2 years later, I had a Marshall stack in the living room. And I think they really thought the drums would have been a better.
100 watts of a Marshall's a little louder, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. But no, they were very supportive of me. They let me play every day. They just kept me off the streets, kept me out of trouble. And I was just in my room just playing and enjoying just learning, just learning music. It's fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the, we were talking a little bit before the show about the, to me, I think it's a critical part of rock music as a rock player, the blues aspect of it. And for a while in the 80s, I think in the 90s, there was a lot of stuff that came out where there was more of a classical influence, especially in metal bands, where they were doing a lot of classical, like piano-type scales and tapping. And now I think it's come back now where you're seeing, because a lot of people are focusing back on Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page, and a lot of those early groups, they were very blues-based. And to me, I think the emotion of the music in rock, when I listen to a group like Humble Pie or Zeppelin or the Stones or whatever, it was the blues that I think gave it its soul.
Absolutely. It's no doubt about it. And I know what you mean about the 80s. I think when I got out here in 85, it was all about Eddie Van Halen and Yngwie. Yngwie really took it to the next level as far as the classical playing with his background. And I have nothing against those styles of playing.
Right,
there's room for everybody and everything. And blues really never died. Blues rock really never died. If you go different parts of the country or overseas, you still heard it in those times. But I think it's good that people have the influences of classical music and other things, and they can come back to the roots of what it's really, to me, really all about, and that's really the blues. And when I first started playing guitar, it was all Rolling Stones and stuff like that, and I had no idea at the time when I was a kid where it all came from until I started to read their influences and the Howlin' Wolfs and all the great players that they really, even got their name from Muddy Waters, that's where Rolling Stones came from. But to me, it's like it's definitely coming back stronger now than it's ever been in a long time, I think. And it's great. I mean, you can pick and choose whatever you want to, learn and play now. But the blues is definitely, as far as the Stones, early Santana was Santana Blues Band at first. It wasn't even called just Santana.
Yeah.
So it's everybody. They went through a lot in the 60s, and it's and I was a huge Zeppelin fan, still am a huge Zeppelin fan. And they took the blues and took it to another place, but they also took Eastern music. And that's what I loved about that band. It was four different guys that had four different musical tastes, and they all put it together and compromised and made something unique to this day.
Well, especially the late 60s, in rock and pop music, that was the thing of merging styles and experimenting. The Beatles, obviously, with the Indian influence with George Harrison. I mean, Paul McCartney, When I'm 64, even though that was an early song that he wrote, he integrated like a little ensemble band type of sound. I mean, they were experimenting with a lot of different things. And I think that we're seeing that a little bit more. Actually, you were talking about blues, not just rock. I've actually heard a lot more heavy blues in contemporary country. It's just crossing over.
Yes.
And to me, that was always the cool thing, was merging sounds and going, taking this and that and making something else.
I got a cross-pollination. It's everywhere. I have a blues song that has like a reggae riff in the middle of it, and it's weird. It's in a country song that has something like a kind of reggae feel. To me, it's just natural. I didn't try to do it that way to be different. It just felt right when I was writing the song. And to me, it was like, wow, this is cool. It works. And if it works, what's the problem? I don't see a problem with it, and it makes you, I think, as an artist, not sound like everyone else. And that's the thing I love about the blues. You can hear B.B. King or Albert King or Freddie, and those guys, they could hit one note, and I know exactly to this day who they are. And that's what I'm trying to achieve. A lot of other people are still trying to achieve. I hope I'm getting there. I don't know. Other people, wait till other people tell you, really, because that's really what it's about. And that's to be identified by that. Is really, with all the guitar players in the world right now, it's really a tough thing to do. But it's still possible. It's still happening. There's guys to do it. And
No, I think house. Yeah, and the fact that you're, I think what'll make it more, you know, is experimenting and merging, you know, in cross pollination, as you said. I think that helps define your style because each person interprets differently, right. And people are now are listening to other things to get melodic ideas. Like we were talking, a lot of jazz guys in like the late 70s and stuff when fusion was out, a lot of the guitar players were listening to saxophone, but now there's, you know, I haven't asked him personally, but Eric Johnson, I think a lot of stuff I hear him doing is influenced by violin. I think that there's some like violin licks that he's kind of integrating or trying to integrate in it, and it gives him a whole different approach. I mean, he does a lot of blues stuff, but I'm saying when he does some of those scales and stuff and tapping, a lot of that is like, it reminds me of violin parts, but I think that that's opening again. People are listening to, you know, when we borrow from different instruments. Some right. people borrow from voice, but there's woodwinds, there's brass, and then you start getting all these different lines, and it makes it more
sure.
unique.
I mean, B.B. King, a lot of some of his early stuff was from Louis Jordan. I mean, T-Bone Walker was a great influence for everybody back then. He was the man, and still is in a way to me. But a lot of those guys were, you know, listening to horn players and trying to, you know, interpret that on guitar. And I think it's it just expands your way of playing and thinking. And even when I write myself, I'll write a lot of stuff on bass guitar.
That's interesting.
Which is, you know, most guitar players, and I don't know many that do that, but I enjoy it because I get the foundation of the song, what I call the groove. If I get the groove, you know, you got the groove, everything else, it's the foundation. You can lay anything on top you want. And like I said, when I pick up the regular guitar then, I'm usually playing something that I normally wouldn't play on guitar or write on guitar to write that song. So it kind of gives me it's like now I have to figure out where it's going from here. So
yeah,
it's great. It's great for a foundation. But it works for me, and it's...
You know. Can I put you on the spot and have you kind of show a couple examples of kind of what you mean by like how B.B. King was writing or playing solos that kind of match a horn player? Because you were kind of showing a little bit of it earlier. I just think it'd be neat for people to hear that.
Well, I'm on acoustic guitar right now. If I switch to electric, I could probably show you better.
All right.
But
let's do that real quick. I'll hold it for you.
Okay.
He just wants to hold the mark. I know him. It's like...
Well, not really.
If you play anything by Nelson on there, you will ruin that guitar for him. You can never play it.
You don't even know the genius of Nelson.
It's kind of like when he does Thrill Is Gone. Goes up to that high note, that's a horn line. That's really what horn players do. That's kind of one example. And BB does that a lot on a lot of his songs, and it still never gets old to me because it's just a very tasteful place to go.
He's one of those guys, less is more. He doesn't really get, I know he can get crazy when he wants to, but a lot of times that one note just sets it.
And in his prime, too. And I've seen him over the years, and he's slowed down a bit. And I get a little upset when people write bad things about him now. He's older, and he's got arthritis, and lots of stuff's going on. But I just respect him from – it's like a prize fighter. I always think about their best fights, not the ones they're doing at the end of their career.
Right.
But BB, I respect him so much. I don't have anything bad to say about him. And he's a great person. He's a great individual if you ever meet him. He's just a really great man. So anyway, out of respect, that's where I'm at with that. But it's like – I don't really play his style. I do that song once in a while. I do a couple of his tunes, but you know, I just he just has a certain feel, and his vibrato is just, you know, so I don't even know if I can do it. Or he just shakes
his whole entire hand.
Shakes his entire hand.
So, what kind of style do you kind of put yourself in? I mean, are you like a Texas blues guy, or you're a Southern blues guy, or are you just your own thing?
I'm just a blues rock guy. I like it. I don't. I take a little bit from everything. I mean, even a lot of my songs have a crazy sense of humor. That comes from like Ray Stevens and Frank Zappa. I was a big Zappa fan as a kid. I loved his. He was brilliant and a madman at the same time. It's just I love his music. And a lot of people didn't get it. people, especially like a black man listening to Zappa. But then you got to think George Duke played on Apostrophe. There was, you know, it was all Johnny Guitar Watson. So it was all, to me, it was not a color thing. It was like what I liked and what I didn't like.
Yeah.
It was never about that, you know. So, you know, I got the stink eye from a lot of people because I wasn't playing, you know, regular Motown stuff all the time, because I was the kind of guy who didn't like to be in the back of the stage while singers up front, you know, singing and getting all the girls and having a good time while the band backs him up. I like my toes being on the edge of the stage, just like the front man. That's why I've always been in bands that just were rock or rock oriented. That were just, you know, everybody's having fun. Everybody's up there getting the attention and having fun. But it's always about the song. It's not about the fan blowing in your hair, the individual. It's all about the song. And that's one concept I learned as a kid when I was about 15. You know, how to use dynamics and always think about the song. No matter how well you can play, my definition of a great player is not how fast you can play some fusion lick. It's one that can do that and also play a simple bass line without being upset about it and knowing how to do it as a pro. Because that's important, to play the simplest stuff as well as you can the stuff that's really
well. What was, for your melodic playing in blues, especially blues, what's your influence? Do you listen to horns? Do you listen to... What do you listen to, voice?
I listen to voice, and I listen to guitar players. That's what I really listen to the most. I haven't really gone far out of that genre for it, but I do listen to different styles of music.
Yeah.
So I mean, country was a big thing with me at one time. I'm a big Dwight Yoakam fan. I mean, I called myself at one time a kind of a cross between Dwight Yoakam and Hendrix, and and some people think that's crazy, but to me, it's like, I mean, the coolness of those. It was like I grew up with guys that were cool, like Hendrix, the way they dressed, Jimmy Page. It wasn't just about your playing. It was about your whole presence, and they brought that all the time. And it's changed a bit. It's more a geeky thing now, but that's okay. I mean, Bonamassa, to me, is just amazing. I met him on Sunset the other day, just walking to the guitar shop and said, "Hi, how you doing, Joe?" He's just a down-to-earth guy, and he's just brilliant. To me, he's like, he's the reason that there's a resurgence of blues rock around the world right now, because he packs every place he plays, and I like where he's coming from. I like that he's independent also. He doesn't rely on a label. He has his own thing, and I dig that a lot.
Now you have, we were talking earlier too, before the show, you like thicker necks, you have bigger hands.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about your technique? Let's go through that a little bit. Do you bend up or do you bend down?
I, depending on the position of my hand, I usually bend up. I'm usually a...
I'll bend down. You hook your thumb. You have your hands are big enough to grab that thumb.
And that came from the whole Hendrix thing. That, I mean, if you don't do that when you're playing Hendrix, you're not playing Hendrix. You gotta cover your E string. If you want to get those things right, you gotta play it like that.
Right.
You know? It's very important. So, but you know, if the chord by itself, G chord sounds like that. When Hendrix plays it, it sounds like that. It just changes the whole tone of it.
Yeah. No, that's cool. But you, so you bend up. Now, let's talk a little bit. You tune the guitar down, right? What's your gauge on there?
11 to 50, and I tune down a half step. And people think I do it to try to be like Jimmy, but it's really not. I do it because vocally, I can sing five nights a week if I tune down a half step. If I'm in 440 regular tuning, for my voice, my range, I start to really strain after about the second, third night. It's really difficult, and just because of the way I sing, and I try to sing hard. I'm the only singer in the band too, so it really is comfortable for me. And then I just got so used to playing that way, and playing that half step down, and using a little heavier strings, you know. And we're talking about tone, you know. Heavier strings don't always mean tone to me. I mean, Billy from ZZ Top and Albert King, they use lighter gauge strings, and they still have the best tone out there, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, right now your sound is we're using a Fender amp, and you're using a brighter sound. Now, do you, like Roy Buchanan, do you like to use harmonics and ping, or do you just play straight?
I'm not really. I love Roy Buchanan's playing, but I'm not really that trebly telly sound. That's not good for my ears for some reason. I never liked that sound. I like the Nashville cats that play like that, but Roy was really heavy reverb and heavy just treble, and it just it's not for me. But brilliant player. Brilliant.
Yeah, guitar. No.
I wish I'd seen him when he was around.
And you also use a Les Paul live too.
Yes,
right. So What would you use a Strat for, or what would you use a Les Paul for? How do you discern?
It's the songs that I write. Just certain songs call for a different guitar. Even the Tellys I have at home, I have a song called Hot Sauce that I wrote, and it's just that. Sounds really good on a Telly. I can fake it on a Strat, but it sounds great on a Telly. And that's the way, you know, certain things that fit, you have to, and when you go in a studio, I like to have, I like to bring my, a variety of my semi-hollow bodies, just everything I have in case, you know, if something comes up and the engineer goes or the producer goes, you have this, we need this sound. And I can just, I want to go home and get it. I bring everything. So it's right
well,
there.
Well, live you use Strats and Les Pauls for
yes,
electric.
Yes.
What else do you use in the studio? You said semi-hollows. What do you have?
I use some Epiphones. I have, I think it's called an Emperor or something like that. It's an older one. It's I have a flat top. Just like I said earlier, before we got on air, I like taking sometimes a cheaper guitar and just gutting it and putting in high-end pickups, Gibson pickups.
Well, let's talk about it, because, you're one of those guys, like myself, Scott's cringing. We modify everything.
I modify everything.
So,
if I could modify my acoustic guitar, I would, but I can't. I'll ruin it.
But now, let's take a look. Let's talk a little bit about this Strat as an example, what you did to it.
Yeah, I bought the body. It's like an antiqued age body. It's called relics. It's a relic body. The guy's actually made the wood a little lighter. He's aged it by scraping the paint off of it. And because I have bigger hands and I wanted a fatter neck, the Fender Custom Shop necks are quite expensive. And for my budget at the moment, I couldn't really afford it. So I have a Kenny Wayne Shepherd neck, which is this kind of chunky. He's got heavy frets on it. And
Rosewood neck.
And it's
it's a 12-inch raise, so
yes,
it's flat,
it's
so he doesn't have the fretting out.
Yeah, it doesn't really fret out, you know, when you get up into higher notes.
Yeah, so you actually bend up to the fourth string.
Yeah, I bend
up. You're a monster.
I'm always bending, yes.
And then it's a C-style neck. It's
yes.
kind of a that type of, if you're familiar with Fender style.
Okay.
So you did that. Now, what about the electronics? What did you do there?
Electronics, I use Virtual Vintage pickups. I've had, I think about 15 years ago, I was doing a live recording in San Diego, and as soon as the light man turned the lights on, and everything went crazy. It ruined the whole entire recording. I went home just really upset, so I started experimenting. I started buying all these different pickups. People call them Holy Grail. I call them Holy Crap. Most pickups out there were not Holy Grail. They were just crap. They were just noiseless, but they were not good pickups.
Yeah.
They took away...
Well, a lot of noiseless, I heard, you lose the top end.
You do.
Now, do me a favor. Turn your volume up. We're in a very brutal room. We have a bunch of fluorescent lights in here, which is like murder for any guitar. Let's put it to the test. It's quiet. I'm not getting any buzz.
This is a bridge pickup. No buzz. Virtual
That's
vintage,
clean.
They have 58s, the 67s, and the 61s. I'm not going to tell you what I use, but just check them out. They're really good pickups, and they sound, they still hold the... To me, if I put my ear to a live recording, that's what I like to do. Just record in the studio. I have some guitars with the Texas Specials in, which are the steep ones that Stevie kind of made popular. I like those a lot. These are like Texas Specials without the noise.
Right, right.
And they have the high end. And if you have good amps, that's all you got to do is you can dial in a little more treble, a little more presence, and you can really kind of, you know, make up for what you supposedly lose with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have that problem. I'm so used to them now, and they sound good. They sound great through my amp.
And now you're using the standard 5-way switch for that. So there's nothing. I know there's some special things that you do, and we don't. I respect that, but basically it's still the same standard.
Fine.
It's basically a standard Fender.
Right.
Now, use any particularly unusual pickups on the Les Paul, or what did you do to Les Paul?
I put I think they're DiMaggio 35 year anniversary pickups. I like taking the caps off, so especially the neck pickup. For me, it's always too dark. So I put a 1 meg volume knob in it, and I also volume pot, which is good when you're playing wide open, but when you turn it down, you lose it. It goes really dark really quick when you turn down even the slightest bit. So I'm thinking about putting a 500k pot back in there again, and just
now those are that 30th anniversary is it's a PAF type.
Yes,
it's a lower gain. It's not a high output.
Yes, I don't use high output pickups. I don't prefer it. I don't like the string pull. I don't like how it dulls it sometimes. I let the amp do all that. I mean, my amp, I can only turn up to about 3.5, and it's loud. People are crying already.
No, I remember when those came out, everybody wanted to drive the pedals and stuff. But we had one, you know, those real high-gain DiMarzios were kind of dark sounding, but my friend, he started experimenting with the resistor, and he put this, I forgot what the, because I'm not that versed on it, he put this one reverse, and that thing was brighter than any telly, but like 10 dB hotter than anything.
Yeah.
It's a monster.
Yeah. And I'm guilty too. When Eddie came out, when Van Halen came out, I built a guitar with one pickup and did a whole thing, and you know, and it had this really strong magnet, and it was just crazy. It was a crazy guitar, and I had a Marshall stack at the time, so it just made no sense at all. It was just it hurt me, so I know it had to hurt people in the audience.
Now, did you have any issues with noise on that guitar? Did you do anything else? Let me ask you this too. Do you spray the inner cavity with that silver paint so you can ground the whole thing to shield it? You don't do anything?
I don't have to do that. What I've done, like this, when I built this Strat, I just take a ground wire and just solder to the back plate, and that takes care of all that. Now, if you're using regular single coil pickups, not the noisiest types, but the regular ones, yes, I've done that before. I've used the grounding paint, aluminum foil, and the whole thing, even through the cavities. It does take it down a bit, but it doesn't take it down to where I'm spoiled now with these.
Well, even like my Les Paul it's got the standard pickups on it, but it would pick up a lot of RF noise.
Not mine. My Les Paul's just, I have two of them, and they're both just.
The other thing that a lot of people don't realize is that your older Fenders used to have a plate of, I think it was copper under the pickguard. It was actually the same shape. And I did that to my Jaguar, which is single coil, and it's actually quieter than my Les Paul.
Yeah.
And they're the standard Jaguar pickups, but that I think that made a difference. And then I also had it sprayed inside, so it was totally grounded.
It does make a difference. And a lot of stuff comes from, you know, pro bands like, you know, Pink Floyd, all those guys had, their guitar techs were really smart. They tried all kinds of stuff because they could. They had artists that said, you know, I want this thing quiet. What can you do? So they just experimented. And now people, because of YouTube and stuff like that, anybody can do it. Anybody can find out how it's done and do it.
Now, I wanted to ask you, so you were kind of talking about how, well, you tune your acoustic here at a different different tuning. Is there different ways you would consider you would play blues on electric versus acoustic? And I don't know if there's a way you can kind of show what you might do different versus one guitar versus the other.
To me, it's really, because I like thicker strings on the acoustic, I can't bend them the way I bend on electric guitar. So that's I don't bend as much. That's the difference. So you have to play more of a straight style, which is cool. It's a little more disciplined, which I like. But the more you play it, though, the more you get away with. I mean, I don't play it as much as I should. I try to play every day on acoustic guitar. And I play electric every day for sure, but my acoustic, because I just wrote three new songs and they're going to be on my new record, I try to make sure that I get them down really, really well.
Use the acoustic as your workout guitar to build the strength in your hands, or doesn't matter?
My hands are strong already. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Well,
the only thing I build is my calluses. I got to keep the calluses on.
The real question is, can you bend to the fourth fret on that Martin? If you do that, I'm impressed.
No, I can't. If I did, it wouldn't sound good.
I don't think anybody's bent to the fourth fret. That's pretty...
You put some eights on there.
yeah, there you go.
Give it a shot.
No, that's true. Have you ever experimented? We're going to go... I want to go in and we'll have you switch over to the acoustic guitar in a minute. But I want to ask you one more thing about the Les Paul. Did you ever try... There was a... I had this done and Monique Caravello, who introduced me to you. She wired my guitar and did like the old 50s type of, because I guess I had the Bumblebee resistors in there already, but she did what they call the 1950s wiring.
Yes.
Which it gives you more of the pickup and it's less, you're less influenced. Have you done that to your Les Paul?
I rewired both of my Les Pauls exactly that way.
Okay.
I ordered the Bumblebee pickups off of eBay or something. They don't, they're more, I think it's more hype than anything, because some of the smaller ones are just as good to me and to my ears. I've actually A-B'd them. I've hooked up a little switch and had the back of the plate off the Les Paul, so I actually switched back and forth with the different resistors while I'm playing, so I know they're not that different.
But, you know, some people. But that 50s wiring, I heard, it sounds nice.
It does. I prefer this 50s wiring. I really do. So I wired both my Les Pauls that way, that way.
Now, both of them have those, the same pickups, or do you have a...
No.
Okay.
The other one has, I think I have a Jeff Beck in the neck. It's been a long time since I've really looked at it, so I'm not quite sure. But I know I have a JB in the neck.
Okay, but none of them are using the standard Gibson pickups.
No, none at all. And there's nothing wrong with those either. No. I mean, I still have them in a box at home, but I'll never sell them, but... No, they're not standard.
I had Monique do it because my guitar was stock. I basically didn't change the pickups. Was out of phase. The magnets were out of phase. She had to flip the magnet, and it's just opened the guitar up. It's amazing what happened.
I should specify this is a 70s Les Paul, so this is not the time period that was good for really anybody.
No, it was. Well, I know. He liked chunky necks. I had mine shaved because it was just too. It was just nasty. And it was a fretless Wonder, so it was hard to bend, so I had to put the fatter frets on it.
I think Eric did the same. Eric Clapton did the same thing. He had him shave it down.
Valdez worked on his guitars. That's how I learned about him. Yeah. And he was like, he had a little place across the street from Guitar Center. And he did an amazing job. It was really cool. I'll tell you one tip that he did that was really neat is under the tuning pegs, you know how the Les Paul headstock kind of angles a little bit? Mm-hmm. He put a piece of wood under where you put the tuning keys and then put the tuning keys. So it lowered the tuning key hole down, so it gave you a little bit more angle, and he claimed, and it sustained great, and he claimed it gave you a better angle, so you got a little more sustain. It was a little Valdez trick that he did. It was very cool.
It's like a lot of guys, you know, they pay all this money for the Peter Green Les Paul, and just all you do is switch around the neck pickup, and there you go, you got it. You got one right there. And it got out of phase sound. You know, that was an accident that, you know, he wouldn't have it worked on, and the guy brought it back, and the pickup was reversed, and he started playing it. So that became
a couple of guys. Steve Howe did that to his ES-175, and he did that in on the neck pickup, so it was a little brighter.
Yeah.
And it made, you know, it was definitely influenced his sound. I mean, it definitely had. But I know a lot of guys started flipping them.
Yeah. You can always flip them back, so if you don't like it.
It wasn't anything that really. No, that's true. But anyway, so, okay, well, that's kind of cool what you did with the Les Pauls. And those pickups, those are interesting. That's an interesting setup. I know other people, again, mine's stock, but some of those other, especially DiMarzio's, there's a lot of tone in that style pickup. I know you can get a lot.
The 35th anniversary is really a good pickup. He did a great job. He's always, you know, trying new stuff. That's what I like. He just doesn't settle like, oh, I got this. It's great, and I'm never going to build another one. He's always trying new things with different artists, and that's what keeps it fresh to me. I love that.
Well, the other thing, too, is I think that, you know, when you get higher gain, because DiMarzio was known for their high gain super distortions.
Right.
When you get more high gain, the pickup starts losing top end and low end, just like when you crank a speaker up. So when the speaker gets more distorted, you lose the high and low end and get that fat, like mid-range sound, which is a desirable tone. And a lot of people learned after they were getting, you know, a lot more gain out of with the super distortions is they were losing the top end low end. When you have a little less gain, that's one of the reasons why single coils have such a very expansive set of tones. You can get a lot of things out of a single coil because it's less gain. So there's more character in the you get more character out of the strings, I think. Yeah. And I think that with the PAFs, you see that too, because it's a little less gain. It has more tone.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Les Paul was brilliant. Brilliant man.
So, well, let grab the acoustic. Okay, you had shown us some stuff that you were doing on the electric. Let's go to the acoustic and see, and then you can also demonstrate how you approach it a little bit different. Scott, you have to give him the Martin back. It's not yours. I'm sorry.
I love Martins.
I enjoy a lot of finger picking stuff on acoustic. It just sounds so good. Sounds so, I don't know.
So now this, you were saying you tune in standard tuning, but D.
D, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you do any open tunings?
No, I don't. I do slide at home because I'm not brave enough to do it out live yet. But when I get good enough, I'll step outside and start playing it. I might do it in the parking lot first and move to the streets, yeah. then to the clubs. But right now, it's just something I'm working on.
You don't use slide electrically either, right?
No.
Yeah. But if your action's pretty low, it's hard to. It's a little tricky.
I got a friend that can come in and play any of my guitars and just play like Johnny Winter, and it upsets me. It really does. He's so good at it.
Okay, now you have the acoustic on. Let's talk a little bit now. Kind of, if you can, demonstrate a little bit your approach now, playing wise.
Okay.
How it differs from electric. So you, like, for example, you said you don't bend as much.
Okay. First of all, I use a really light pick
for
to me acoustic. You can hear the E. It's E with a light pick. Now here's my medium that I use on my electric. Hear how dark it got.
Big. Now, okay, what's, just so they know, what's the pick that you're using for the electric? Show them.
It's a thin.
That's for the acoustic.
Fender
thin.
But the other one, what's that?
It's a Dunlap 1mm.
1mm. Yeah. Okay.
So
it's darker. It's definitely
a lot darker.
And that Martin's a bright Martin.
Yes. So I like the, and I use the side of the pick too, by the way. I never used a tip. It always gets caught in the strings and makes me mad. So I use the side and. And I really like.
Now you're doing fingers there.
Now that to me is the best tone of all, using your fingers. I just love that on acoustic guitar for some reason. Mm-hmm. I always have. But
so you tend to use more fingers on the acoustic than on the electric.
Yes, absolutely. But I do sometimes, if I'm doing a slow part, if a song slows down in electric, I'll just break it down and start using my fingers. And I have a way where I tuck it in here. And I don't know when I started doing it or
the pick. He's holding the pick with his third middle finger, right?
Yeah, I hold it in the bent joint of my middle finger.
Let me take a picture of that. Okay, got it.
It's like he's making the Aloha symbol.
Yeah.
and I can go. I can switch back and forth without any thought process. I go back and forth from picking to using my fingers, and it's. You know, I guess after all these years, it's kind of just comes. You just do it.
Anything else? Do you pop the string sometimes, or do you do anything?
I do that on electric sometimes, yes.
But not on the acoustic as much. Yeah. So do you do any little bit of bending, or do you do any type of...
I do just a...
that you're staying down in the lower register, whereas like on electric you tend to bend up. Do you ever do a lot of anything up on the top on the acoustic, or you tend to stay because you're using open strings and stuff?
It depends on the song. You know, I usually stay on the lower registers, but if it's called for, yeah.
Because I know you're using open string. Yeah. You'll pull off onto an open.
Yeah.
Now, didn't you say you wrote a couple new songs for the acoustic?
Yes.
Can you give us like a, I mean, maybe not the full song, but the, like a little sample for us, if put you on the spot of something.
I'm on the radio. I don't know if I can do this one here. what about play you something that I already...
Yeah,
already
no, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm crazy, baby. I'm crazy over you. Yeah, I'm crazy, mama. Crazy over you. Hard for a man to sing the blues when he's got a woman like you. Woke up this morning, there was gray clouds in the sky. Thought I saw the sun come out, it was just you walking by. Yeah, I'm crazy. I'm crazy over you. Poor man to sing the blues when he's got a woman like you. Make love every morning, we make love every night. Your loving's like a new pair of shoes, it feels good and fits just right. So crazy, I'm crazy over you. like that.
So let me ask you this. So we were joking about the 1, 4, and 5. The one thing you did there that I thought was really cool that might be fun to share with people was when you go to the 5, you did a little half step up. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what you're doing there?
Yeah, what I try to do is to take the roots or the standard basic 1-4-5 of the blues and try to stretch it and make it a little more contemporary, just different, because I just don't want to, I mean, you're already playing a genre where so many people sound the same because we're playing those same chords, the same patterns. So I try to do stuff where I can just take it a little bit out of the park. Just one song, I can do it on electric. I can do it on this too, but it's a song that I have, let me see. Just hanging around. You called your boss, said you'd be late for work, girl. Put on your shoes and take off the skirt. You're wrong, babe. Yeah, you're wrong, babe. Well, you're so wrong, but that's alright. That's alright with me. Instead of going, you know, just stretching it a little bit. Just making just a little different to make it yours. Whatever it takes.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's really cool. It sounded good on acoustic guitar.
Yeah. So that's what I try to do. I just try to, you know, every artist wants should want to be themselves. You take all your influences and just try to create something that makes you unique. You know, I don't care what it is. There's guys that wear chicken buckets on their head, but you got to wear a chicken bucket on your head. But he plays like a madman anyway. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really need the bucket. But it's just, you know, whatever it takes to make it unique and make it yours. And especially when you're playing stuff that's been done a million times over. And the simplicity, some people go, oh, blues is easy. I hate blues is easy. It's not. It might be easy to play, but it's very hard to master. There's very few masters of the blues, and that's the difference, guys. And I get a little upset when people put it down, because I guess it's karma, because when I was a kid, you know how we were when we were kids. It's like, oh, this sucks, that sucks. But really, that music didn't suck. If I didn't like it, it just wasn't for me. If there's a million people like something, maybe it doesn't suck. Maybe it's just not for you. And that's just the way, because when you went home and you just shredding and you just wrote the best song of your life, and you go out there and you play, and you're in front of a crowd, and all of a sudden one guy walks up and goes, "You suck." And it's like, you've been working really hard on that song, so you know it's kind of that karma will come back to you.
Yeah,
I can raise my hand.
Yeah.
So be careful when you're putting down other people's music or whatever, because you know just really concentrate on you and keep it positive.
I can relate to, because I understand now that Nelson isn't talking to me. It's meant for somebody else. I'm not going to stare at him.
I'm not going to touch that.
No, but anyway, let me ask you this now, because we're talking as a contemporary artist. You're also known as you know, you're a blues rock guitarist. So now, when you're writing contemporary music or you're trying to do something, is it you don't really think about the blues, or do you consciously say, I'm going to make this bluesier, or is it just totally from the head, from the heart?
The thing is, I've been playing blues so long now that it's just part of me. It's part of who I am. So I don't have to think about it anymore. It's always a fabric in everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
I've had blues labels, you know, who wanted to sign the band, and they're like, well, I like this, but if you need to do this, if you do this, it's like, no, I'm doing me. I'm not going to make you happy and your label happy, because that's not, if I got to play those songs every night, I'm not going to be happy. So what's the point of doing that? So, I mean, I have to be who I am. And that's probably what's taking me longer to get where I'm eventually going to be going, because I'm so independent. And I mean, I do listen to ideas from my band, from producers. If you got an idea, I'm writing a song that sounds better than what I hear in my head, I will listen to it and I'll adapt it if I think it's better. But I'm the final say. And I know that's kind of
Well, no,
life.
You got to be true to yourself.
You got to be true to yourself.
That's really what it's about.
Now, one thing we haven't really mentioned, we've kind of talked to guitars, we've talked to amps. Do you use any pedals?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you use?
Well, I started off like most people using that little green machine, that little tube screamer. Then I got away from it for a long time. And this company called Visual Sound came out with a Jekyll and Hyde pedal.
Oh, yeah.
They came out with the gray. I have two of the gray models. I have about so many of the second one's the red model that came out. They don't make them anymore, that model. They make a newer one. But that second one that came out, to me, is the best. I have about six of them at home. Every time I see them on eBay, I buy them up, just in case.
Now, when you're in your live setup, what amps are you using? You're using Fender, but which ones?
I use a Fender. It's called a Supersonic. It's the second generation. The first generation, to me, was more for metal players, for hard rock players. The second one is more like a Bassman and a Princeton. It's got that warmer sound to it. And I love
you never used a twin? Never thought about it?
Twins, I used one twin as a kid. A friend of mine had a blonde one. It was a very old one. I wish I had it because it was just a magical amp. And I don't know. I don't even know where the guy is anymore. But that's the only twin I've ever liked. To me, they're just not, they're too loud or too heavy.
No, that's true.
You know, if you got a road crew and if, you know, depends on what speakers are in it too. I mean, that really... I've switched speakers in a couple of my amps, and I didn't like the amp at first, but when you change a speaker to a lower wattage or higher wattage speaker, you can really dial in this kind of sound you want instead of spending a couple thousand dollars for a new
amp. What do you
have
in the Supersonic?
I use, oh my goodness, good question. I'm actually using a Vibro King cabinet. I'm not using a Supersonic cabinet.
So that's a one?
Three, no, it's 310.
212.
Oh, the Vibro King?
Vibro King.
Should be 310s.
Extension cabinet.
Oh, really?
I have a blonde Vibro King with the 310s in it. So you're actually right. But the extension cabinet has 212s.
Really? Okay.
You prefer the 12s over the 10s?
Yes, I do, actually. You've seen Pete Townsend use two stacks for a long time. But yes, I have the old blonde ones that I actually sold one. And the next day, I felt so bad that I sold it. Because I was like, what did I do? You ever sold something like, why did I do that? I don't need the money. So I went to Guitar Center to buy a new one, and a guy was bringing in one in the door to trade in. I bought it right there. So the next day I ended up with one. I took the money that I sold one from and bought another one. It must have been in the stars because I love that.
Somebody was telling you not to sell.
Not to sell it.
My friends know me. My middle initials are NS for never sell. Never sell. I don't want to hear it. I get upset.
I made a big mistake with that. I have a flying bee story, but I won't tell you about that. Yeah, I won't tell you about that one.
But anyway, okay. Now then with the going with that amp and cabinet setup. Mm-hmm. You don't remember what the speaker is.
I don't,
it's not Celestian, is it?
A friend of mine. No, it's not. I'm not really a Celestian guy. I take that back. I just bought one of the Creambacks, the kind that I guess Hendrix knows guys Beck used back in the day.
Yeah, big magnet.
And it sounds amazing. I love that speaker. But I'm not a vintage. I'm not the 30. What do you call them?
The 30 watt. Yeah,
those are really bright.
Yeah, that's not for me. They work for a lot of guitar players and Marshalls and stuff, but not for me. I suggest
you check out the American, or they call it the A-type, but the American style Celestian speaker. Mm. I think you will like it.
Okay.
It's not that British sound. It's not that kind of brittle thing.
Okay.
I think you'll like it.
And if you can find a 115 cabinet, those 15s are cool because you do. I mean, I have a Fender amp with a 15, and it's nice.
I have a hemp cone speaker too. That sounds great.
Yeah, I've heard those are really good.
They sound amazing.
Good too.
They sound amazing.
So now, okay, so you mentioned the distortion one. Do you use a wah? Do you use a Univibe? Do you
use
whatever else?
535Q, which is to me, it's like, you know, I know guys who have, I mean, I'm one of them. I have probably six wah pedals, and this is great because it has a little pot on the side. You can make it sound real, that honk sound. You can make it sound like Hendrix, Shaft, anything you want. You can get all those sounds just by turning the potentiometer, and it's a great pedal. I have two of those in both my racks and my floor, and I love them. I can get any sound in the studio. If I want to change it, I can get that sound without changing the pedal.
Right.
They sound
now
good.
Is your studio setup and live setup the same, or is it different?
It depends. It all depends. My live setup is just, you know, it's pretty simple. But in the studio, it's I'm on this new album. I'm going to start recording in 2 weeks. I have 15 songs. I'm not sure I'm going to use them all, but I'm going to experiment more. I feel like I'm just in the mood right now to experiment. Like I said, I've never used a fuzz pedal before in a studio, but I've just written a song that it's just screaming fuzz pedal. It's got to have a fuzz pedal on it. And I got a box of them. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, which one are you thinking of trying to use?
I don't know. I just bought one of those mini fuzz pedals.
The Band of Gypsies one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, I recommend check out, there's a couple other ones I would recommend. I recommend checking out the Analog Man, makes some pretty good ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Gary Clark Jr. uses.
Mm-hmm.
And he also uses the Full Tone.
Okay.
And then I've been digging. I kind of like the, what's that Big Muff we have? The Big Muff.
With
the tone wicker option, the big muff with the tone wicker. Yeah. You can get some pretty dark stuff with that thing, and you can get that nasally. But I personally, I'm not a big nasal fuzz guy. I like the dark, like, rip your face off fuzz.
Okay. And I also got a pedal, another visual sound pedal. They stopped making it, but it's kind of, it's got a, like an octave pedal and a fuzz built in together, and it sounds wicked.
It's it gives you like that Octavia thing.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
Another one I liked, I was really impressed when they were in there, is our friend Dan Boole from 65 Amps. He's got a batch of germanium transistors that are really consistent, and he's made several different pedals. One is like the Tone Master, which is more for Marshalls for treble boost, but he makes one with a two-stage germanium that's more like a fuzz face, and then the three-stage was like the Tone Bender. And the thing I noticed with it, when we were playing, because we weren't playing really loud, but he got like a chunk that you usually lose with a distortion pedal as opposed to cranking up the amp. You know, you're moving that air, and you can kind of hit your chest. And I would recommend it, because the germaniums are kind of a mellower sound, but at the same time, they had a lot of punch to it, a lot of dynamic to it.
Yeah, I'm looking to experiments. I really am. I'm gonna go in and start playing live. I like, when I go in the studio, I always try to live stuff first. Mm-hmm. If I have to overdub anything or do my tracks separate, that's because I just didn't cut it live. But mm-hmm. I really like doing it live.
Well, I told you it was gonna go fast.
Really
we
fast.
Are out of time.
You wanna play your electric out?
You're gonna play your electric. But what I wanted to do real quick is www.dennisjonescentral.com is his website. CDs that you gotta check out: My Kind of Blues, Pleasure and Pain, Passion for the Blues. Briefly, before you play and take us out, where are you playing? Can you give some dates for us?
Yes. This Saturday, I'm going to be at Harvell's on 4th Street in Santa Monica. I think it's 1432 4th Street in Santa Monica. Next Friday, the 13th, I'm going to be at Kobe Steakhouse in Seal Beach. And that's when I'm actually going to do some acoustic stuff. I only do acoustic things when I'm either in front of a European crowd or if I'm in front of places where people can sit down. And because if it's too loud, it's very hard to concentrate in a crowd, in a club where people are partying, drinking, and talking and chasing each other around. So, but I'll be doing some acoustic stuff there. But at Harvell's, it's going to be just a lot of trying out some of my new original material, just working out some things, and just, I haven't played it in about 3 months, so it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, and you guys got to check out this, you'll see that Strat there, and his Les Pauls will be, you got to check out those guitars.
And we want to thank our sponsors, Sweetwater.
Yes.
And we want to also, again, thank Proco Sound for sending out the Evolution cables, which are available at Sweetwater. Check those out.
I want to thank Monique Caravella for introducing you. It's just a pleasure to have you on the show. You're amazing.
She's great.
You definitely, as I said, we just touched the surface. We definitely have to have you back. So we're going to have you back.
Love to.
Okay, everybody, have a great week. We'll let you take us out, and we'll be seeing you next week.